This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So I think most of us saw the Khan sizzle reel and got to wonder what happened to the shot where you punch the guy's head clean off.
Don't, I know that's an optical confusion. What it was is the knife, and it was such a bad print, it looked like I punched his head off.
Oh.
No, that's the shot.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, I kept reading the blogs. I said, guys, look closely. No one can punch someone's head off.
Well, do you ever imagine a world where maybe you'd shot the ending of the book First Blood and you hadn't had Rambo with you all these years?
Yeah, I think about it all the time. I had that debate with Quentin Tarantino, like, who's vehement that I made a mistake, and I said, you know, on an artistic level you're probably right, but at the time I had been spending a lot of time doing research with veterans, and it seemed like this terrible nihilistic ending that just reveled in complete despair. And at that time we had almost a quarter of a million Vietnam suicides. So I thought, you know, do I want to just end it on that note, or make him more of a victim who has been created to do a job, does the job, comes home because, you know what, you no longer fit in. It's like, you know, you're training pit bull. Take a dog, you turn him into a killer, and now what do you do? You got to put him down. And what happens if that pit bull goes loose and you realize it's not as bad as you think? It's still this, you can somehow redeem him. I thought that was more of an interesting story, and but again, as Kurt Douglas says, not artistic, but commercial.
Did you have to go back and look at the previous Rambo movies before you did this movie and get back into character?
The ponderousness that just comes with aging, the sense of weight, the sense of knowledge, knowing too much, the lack of naivete, which is, you know, has happened in my life, sort of set the stage for me. I wanted Rambo with this heavier, bulkier. That's why his first line in the movie is, you know, pretty negative. He's given up. He has nothing. The other Rambos, I felt, had a bit too much energy, a little too spry. They were, and I'm not trying to run myself down, but there was much more vanity involved. You know, it's tank tops. It was all about body movement rather than just the ferocity and the commitment of what he's doing. This character to me is much more interesting. I like the First Blood, and I like this one. Just like the first Rocky and the last Rocky Balboa, everything in between is kind of like trying to figure out what I should do.
Can you talk about the tone of the movie a little bit? Because a lot of audiences might go in expecting sort of the gratification of seeing Rambo return and kill a bunch of people, but the way you depict the violence is really unflinching and very, I guess, if not realistic, then so intense that you kind of can't just enjoy it.
It was, as you notice in the opening credits, I had to live up to a certain kind of responsibility because people are dying as we're making the film. Therefore, to just have me running through the film doing these extraordinary heroics, I thought would demean what they're going through. So they had to have their moment where you see a village that is decimated, and that's what happens. Matter of fact, it's even worse. But I thought, you know, I don't know if that other stuff would fly today. I think the audience really wants something. It's hard-hitting, but has a semblance of reality. We went too far in the old days. You know, we got away with murder. You just jump out of a plane. Well, you help. I don't need a parachute. You use mine. You made it. Somehow you made it. You landed on a convertible roof, and you did it. I said, no, this time I'm going to really, really show it. And the violence has to be extraordinarily brutal, because as we see, we've seen people beheaded on television. I mean, it's like, how much harder can you go? You cannot water it down, at least I didn't feel. And that was a big bone of contention, really. And then the other thing was, do you do a film about a caper? Like, there was a they wanted to have like the corrupt CIA guy, and he was trying to, you know, sell plutonium rods. I said, no. The biggest and most interesting crises in the world is a human crisis. It never gets boring. It goes back to Shakespeare. I mean, it's, you don't need a gimmick. It's just man against man. It's just their intolerance of each other.
It seemed like a lot of production companies were trying to get in with this. There's Lionsgate, Weinstein, and Millennium. I mean,
I don't know any of them either.
I mean, how did they didn't come to you? I mean, did you work with
no,
them?
No, what happened was Weinstein came about 12 years ago and flew me to New York and said, would you want to do a Rambo? I said, okay. And he goes, we got this great idea where Camp David's attacked. I go, I'm out. It can't be. There's something about nature as part of the character. There's something about that, the primitive man. He's almost like an Indian. Set in the city, I just didn't think it would fly. So it died for 10 years, resurfaced. At one time, Mark Burnett was talking about doing it. I was doing The Contender, and then that didn't work. Then I called Harvey Weinstein and talked about these missionary groups are going to Afghanistan. I said, this is interesting work now. Never got called back on that. So Avi Lerner bought it, New Millennium, and he was open to this whole idea. The thing was, I was going to either do something about Mexico, actually the whole coyote Mexican, remember that people disappearing in Juarez, and just that whole world. So we went that way. I said, not working. I need something more international. So I did research and found out that Burma is one of the great hell holes on the planet, but no one knows about it, and it's exotic, and it's near Vietnam. It just the synergy was perfect. So that's why.
Can you discuss your personal location scouting when you went down there to shoot before the movie, and then the shooting conditions itself?
Funny you bring that up, because the location scouting was truly hell. We had to go to places where we were not going to be so confrontational with Burmese agents that are all over Thailand, and they're very, very sensitive to their image, and especially down in Mae Sot, where people have disappeared. It's a serious situation, and the Thais were very, very worried about their imagery. So we decided to go up north to Chiang Mai, try to find something that would sort of be obscure to both of them. We wouldn't be in their faces, but the locations themselves were so inland. Sometimes we'd have to use elephants to get inland. We'd spend days on the river, and I just wanted to try to find something that hadn't been. Well, we couldn't afford to find extraordinary, in the mountains. It would have been great to go up to these areas. But just something that felt as though this would be Rambo territory, that would be as rugged as his life had been and bleak, but also serviceable for some of the actors who really, I didn't want to put them through the kind of hell that they had to be put through. But it was a lot of work. It took four different trips back and forth, and 18 hours each way. It's a lot of scouting back and forth, a lot of jet lagging, but we found we were using these Karen natives that were showing us these very, very obscure areas that had never been seen before.
You've brought back these characters in a way that gets all the fans really excited. How do you approach a different franchise like Death Wish?
Yeah, I think Death Wish, if we were done today, would be volcanic. I mean, because the idea of Jeff Goldblum or some actors being a mugger who breaks an apartment is very simplistic. It gives you an idea how bad the elevation of violence has become. I would focus on defense attorneys. I would focus on people that are really allowing this crap to happen. Not so much the guy out in the street. It's like, who permits it? And what if it happened to you? What if that your daughter down the hall was grabbed and her eyes were put out? Would you sit there and want to defend that guy? Well, would you? So there's moral questions here that are being presented that have not been answered in 30 years. So by no means is it the pacifist. Also, this fellow, Icy, I'm giving you a little hint. He was a very violent human being. Completely violent. I think an ex-convict who walked the walk, was accepted back in society, did everything he could to be a... It's like, a you know, these thieves and these junkies who now work on the side of the law. They've gone that way. And when tragedy happens, he reverts back. It's like, my God. So now you've unleashed this kind of a man who really understands the world of violence. He isn't burdened with this passive-aggressive, conscientious, or objective thing. That's been done. It's like, what happens when the wolf has gone from wolf to sheep's clothing back to the wolf? Now the fellow in the street has a problem because he knows how to deal with that kind of mentality because he was in prison with it. So it would be a whole different thing.
Can you talk about the challenge of making characters like these relevant today, specifically Rocky and Rambo, sometimes 15, 20 years?
You know, if I were trying to go after a youth audience, like and trying to find something hip and using a certain music, whatever, I think that would be pretty obvious and be rejected. There's some things that never change, and they're universal truths. And as you get older, they become more and more apparent about how difficult life is, and like the speech in Rocky about, you know, taking punches, and life gives you punches. And the young people, which supported Rocky more than even the people my age, I think really enjoy and embrace those kind of lessons. And I think the lesson that is somewhat presented here, that war is hell and there is no winner, ever, and unfortunately people just have to find it out the hard way, will translate. And eventually, after a man takes that journey, a woman takes that journey, you always hope that you can go back home, that there's still some gateway back to peace. Peace of mind, some where you can start to rebuild, and that's the only thing I hope it works. And I think it does work because they're just universal truths that never, ever, ever change, no matter what society. It's just everybody wants freedom, everyone wants peace of mind, but it comes at a horrible price quite often.
Was it hard to bring the movie in under for an R? And did you want more?
I couldn't believe it. First of all,
this was.
When babies are being bayoneted and people are being, I thought this will never go, and we presented it. But I did have a caveat with the MPAA. I said, guys, this is happening today, and if we're ever going to do something that's responsible, where art has the ability to influence people's awareness and perhaps impact the lives of these people, don't dilute it. Don't water it down. It's got to be uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. It's miserable. It's distasteful. It's horrifying. But if you're not going to do that, don't do the movie. Don't do violence light. Don't. It's wrong. Don't cut away too soon. Just let it sit in. I want people to feel it. And to their credit, they allowed this film to be as truthful as it could.
What is the most challenging for you to make this film? Because over there the weather is quite horrible.
You're right.
Snakes and insects, and also you had to wear the many hats, and you had to deal with international language or culture gap.
Well, we had. Give me an idea. We had a crew in Iraq. It was about 60 people. It was 570. I mean, that's how hard it was to move through the jungles and everything else. It was the hottest temperatures in 94 years. Matter of fact, they called it the burning season. I even wrote lines in there about when they're going up the river and it's always hazy and foggy. That was the burning season. The entire country was burning to the ground. They could see it from satellite. They had to send in the military that it was just out of control. People were just burning and burning and burning their land to try to clear it, and people were just getting sick. There are 165 different snakes in Thailand. 90 of them are poisonous. So this was a constant problem with people being bit. Centipedes, which are the size of your shoe, you know, being found in your shoes. It was a rough. Like, yeah, Julie Benz, you know, he was coming from Dexter going, what? But I said, no, this is welcome to action films, eh? But it was extremely difficult. But the Thais were just, you know what it reminded me of was when I watched the making of David Lean's film, Bridge Over River Kwai, how much you just have to truck and just use brutal manpower to get inland. There's nothing glamorous about it. And I'd watch these men shoulder these giant generators and cut trails, cigarette in their mouth, no shoes. I mean, they were just, you could never have done it anywhere else on the planet. Believe me, I wanted to, when we started getting all the threats from the Burmese, I said, can we shoot this in Puerto Vallarta? I mean, I try, you don't know. You don't know.
Last quick question.
Any more Rocky movies on the way?
No, No. Yeah, no. They talk about, you know, the son of. I go, okay. Yeah. But, no, I got so lucky with the final image of Rocky. It was just with the Rock focus and the fade, and I went, that's it, can't go any further, you know. It was a miracle that I even got done. I'm just glad that was my finest moment. I was just so happy with it. I just want to end it on a certain note, and luckily we got that shot.
Do you find that because these characters are so physical that people are surprised there's such an artistic motivation behind them too?
You know, I don't know if that's quite apparent, but I know what you mean. If there isn't some kind of thought behind it, because muscles are easy. Anybody can do muscles. Any can. You know what I mean? You just go violence, 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 action, action, action. But if you can find those little moments in between that connect with the people that aren't so physical, that's what takes the time, and that to me is the challenge, and that's what I love about it. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you so much.
You should do another cool character like that.
I enjoyed this, yeah. Even though I never saw it in this form.
I think Jackie Chan once told us he talked about putting him in a Rambo movie. Do you know
play that game?
What point was that at? Like during the 10 years?
Which one? The Jackie Chan thing?
Yeah. Did you talk to him about
this? Was during Demolition Man. Mm. So what was that, like 93?
That would have been a different one.
Well, now you got Jason Statham, you lucky people.
I just want to shake your hand, man. I love the movie.
That's very kind of you.
It's more than just an action film, I felt, you know.
Do you think it's kind of like a reincarnation of the Wild Bunch? You go, remember how everything was going along, and then all of a sudden you had this bloodbath? You go, normally, you see, with this, but it was that part of the movie that actually, he didn't sell out.
Yeah.
And remember Bonnie and Clyde, the whole thing? What was the most important thing in the movie? Is that whole riddle of death? So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just some kind of historical treadmill here. See you later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much.